Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. Well, have you been following the Irving Libby trial in D.C.? The lies are piling up with the testimony of Judith Miller today from the New York Times, unraveling Libby's nest of lies about what he leaked, when he leaked, how he leaked, who he leaked on. Every time I hear that word, I just see somebody unzipping their fly and, you know, going to the John. It's just unbelievable. I understand that Tim Russert pancaked today, I believe is the word, and his colleagues in media did not report it tonight. Oh, well, the Senate finally debated minimum wage. Henry Waxman held hearings on the effects of global warming, as did Barbara Boxer over on the Senate side. Russ Feingold, Arlen Specter, pimp slapped Bush for assuming he's not only the decider, but apparently the dictator of America. Feingold held a hearing in Congress to determine what legal authority Congress had to stop the Bush killing machine, which to me is kind of weird. I mean, I guess that's the way it has to be done, but they have to bring in experts before the Senate to let them know that they are co-equal power in this government and that Bush can go kiss somebody's rear end as far as the Congress is concerned. But no, they have to bring in experts to testify, to say, no, no, guys, you do have the right to cut off funding for a war. You do have the right to declare war. You do have the right to force members of this administration to come in and testify. You really do. All due respect to Feingold and Boxer and everybody else, but, I mean, they had to bring in experts to tell them this, or was this just something they wanted the American public to see? I hope it was the latter. But the American public didn't see it, you see, because it was on C-SPAN 20 or some damn thing. However, on the other hand, it's good that Democrats are back in control of Congress. All of a sudden, everything, every filthy thing this corrupt administration has done, and everything that their whores in media like Hannity and Limbaugh and Armstrong Williams and all these other pigs and piglets, everything that they have done is starting to be revealed now. And this was the reason it was so important to get Democrats in control of both houses, which is what happened in November. It's astonishing. The only major complaint I have right now, when was it? I'm trying to remember when Conyers. It was back in 05, 06. When John Conyers held a press conference and talked about, where is it, damn it, talked about how they were going to begin articles of impeachment, or if not articles of impeachment, they were going to introduce or begin the hearings to lead up to articles of impeachment. And this is when they weren't in power. And now they're in power, and they're not doing anything. So I just have a suggestion to everybody, all the Democrats. If you are all so sure, as some Republicans now are starting to be so sure, of what this filthy, evil little crap ass has done for the past 6 years, George Bush and his administration, if you are so sure of it, as we Americans have been, most of us, ever since it began, if you're so sure that the Constitution has been so violated, If you must bring in expert witnesses to tell you, the lawmakers, you're the senators, why bring in people, experts from Yale or Harvard or some school of government? Who in the hell are you, senators? You know what he's done. Impeach him. Tell your House counterparts to impeach this rat bastard or shut up about it. Stop pointing out the crimes he's committed against the Constitution, international law, domestic law, the American people, and the entire world. Stop pointing it out if you're not going to do anything about it. Man, this is unbelievable. Now, right before airtime, I got an email here. CNN and MSNBC are doing their job. The United States is probing whether Iranians played a role in the attack in Karbala that killed five U.S. troops. Wolf Blitzer just said this is enormous for the Bush war team. You see? Wolf Blitzer, who will do for this administration what Monica did for Bill over and over till his damn lower jaw drops off, and when he sits down in front of Dick Cheney, he just trembles in his $5,000 suit, the cowardly bastard. And as soon as this play starts to show up, some operative in the Bush crime family got on the blower and said, okay, get the word out to our whores, to Tim Russert and Bob Schieffer and especially Wolf Blitzer, and get the word out to the whores. It was Iranians who attacked in Karbala when they were having a security agreement about this freaking Islamic holiday. And they came in, and they executed five Americans. Get the word out. It was Iranians. Iranians who spoke perfect English. Iranians who were dressed in U.S. military uniforms. Iranians who had the proper ID. Iranians who had the kinds of vehicles that American contract troops drive. Iranians who knew the passwords and the codes and the keys and the coordinates. Iranians. It was the Polish cavalry that threatened the tank corps of the German Wehrmacht, and therefore Hitler had to attack the horsemen. Here we are. Here we are. Wolf Blitzer says, this is enormous for the Bush war team. Well, what do I expect an agent for the Mossad to say? Unbelievable stuff. I don't know whether to dig a deep hole or hide. Molly's at that age now when she takes her nap, she'll say, I'm going to hide, and she'll pull her little blanket up over her head. What are you hiding from, honey? I'm just hiding. You're just hiding. I'm just hiding. Yeah, I certainly know how she feels. Feingold asks the basic question: what is congressional power to stop the war? Senator Russ Feingold brought together a panel of legal scholars, many with experience in the executive legislative branch of government, to examine what power Congress has to stop the Iraq war. Maybe that's what you do. I don't know. Maybe that's what you're supposed to do. I have great respect for Feingold, except he's another knee-jerk operator for the Israel lobby. But I still have respect for him. I mean, he's a good legislator, as far as it goes. But he brings in a panel of experts to tell him, how long has Feingold been a senator? Is this his second or third term? I don't even know. I don't know about Feingold. All I know is it just seems like things are, the center is not holding. Things are starting to collapse. And Bush is determined to launch a war against Iran. They're talking about Iraq. Hey, yo, boys, wake the hell up. The murderers are ready to attack Iran. And these guys are still trying to pin down this elusive Iraq thing. Look, Iraq has become a slaughterhouse, a Schlaudenhaus. It's happened. But you don't get it. Senator Boxer, Senator Feingold, Senator Clinton, Senator everybody. These sons of bitches are ready to launch a nuclear attack against Iran. And today, they produce their casus belli. Iranians attacked and murdered Americans. Holy God!
Truth, justice, and the American way. It's more of Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. By the way, coming up in just a few minutes, matter of fact, after the break, the bottom of the hour, we're going to have a little conversation with Joe Trippi, the guy who is now the media and communications consultant for Novam Radio. You may know him as the man who brought political campaigns to the internet age and revolutionized fundraising. For most notably for Howard Dean. We've invited him on to talk about the future of radio on the Internet, as well as discuss the Democratic candidates who have announced their presidential ambitions for 2008. So stick around for that. James Risser, writing at Daily Kos. When the Democrats were the minority party, it was always somewhat encouraging to hear about this or that Democratic senator or congressperson sending letters to senior Bush administration officials, letters regarding the officials' bad behavior. There was a sense one experienced of being alone with others in a fight that if only we had a majority, would be won. So, everyone worked hard this past year, handing out flyers, making phone calls, going to rallies, looking forward to voting on Election Day. Well, we did our jobs quite nicely. Most of us can now say that our candidate won, whether it was whether it be a Congress, Senate, State Senator, Governor. Most of us were successful. And now we look, and several of us are happy with the progress being made, or are content knowing that there are many in Washington dedicated to completing a Democratic agenda, while others of us want to see some of those outstanding letters considered with more intensity and urgency. One of the most encouraging letters written while the Democrats were a minority is the John Conyers letter dated May 12, 2005, addressed to Attorney General Gonzalez, suggesting the appointment of a special prosecutor to investigate violations of the War Crimes Act of 1996 and the Anti-Torture Act against senior members of the Bush administration. If there was one issue that was the most important one to me, James writes, it was seeing a democratically elected Congress who would, with that majority, make sure that senior Bush administration officials were held to account for the several war crimes committed. If the United States is ever to regain a single shred of respect from the international community, it must hold its leaders accountable for its acts of aggression and its invasion of Iraq. And it must hold those responsible for the war crimes committed. Fortunately, there is an existing U.S. statute dealing with war crimes, the War Crimes Act. Definition. Offense. Whoever, whether inside or outside the United States, commits a war crime in any of the circumstances described in subsection B, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned for life, or any term of years, or both, and if death results to the victim, shall also be subject to the penalty of death. B. Circumstances. The circumstances referred to in subsections A are that the person committing such war crime, or the victim of such war crime, is a member of the armed forces of the United States, or a national of the United States. C. Definition. Is used in this section, the term war crime means any conduct, 1, defined as a grave breach of any of the International Convention signed at Geneva 12 August 1949, or any protocol to such convention to which the United States is a party. 2. Prohibited by Article of the Hague Convention respecting the laws and customs of war. 3. Which constitutes a violation of Common Article 3 of the International Convention signed at Geneva 12 August 1949. On and on. The torture. Anti-Torture Act. Offense. Whoever outside the United States commits or attempts to commit torture shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 20 years or both, and if death results to any person from conduct prohibited by this subsection, shall be punished by death or imprisoned for any term of years or for life. Jurisdiction. There is jurisdiction over the activity prohibited in subsection A if, 1, the alleged offender is a national of the United States, or the alleged offender is present in the United States irrespective of the nationality of the victim or alleged offender. C, in the Anti-Torture Act, a person who conspires to commit an offense under this section shall be subject to the same penalties other than the penalty of death, as the penalties prescribed for the offense, the commission of which was the object of the conspiracy. Now, and James goes on, he says, I personally made at least a dozen attempts to get a response from Conyers. Since Conyers is a diarist at this site, Daily Coast, I'm hopeful that he or one of his aides will respond to this with a diary or at least a comment. And Risser has some more here. You can go to Daily Coast and see what James has written if you want to. But the point is so obvious. It is so obvious. The members of the Bush crime family are subject not just to impeachment. They are subject to impeachment, removal from office, and then lengthy prison terms. And some of them, for Christ's sake, are subject to the death penalty. Is that not clear yet, senators and representatives?
Men who were fighting for all of our lives are now fighting for children, for homes and for wives, fighting for the men.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour. Most of you who listen to this program or listen to this network, you know who Joe Trippi is. But just briefly, he's worked on not just Howard Dean's campaign. He's been involved with Ted Kennedy, Walter Mondale, Gary Hart, Dick Ephart, and most of us came to at least know the name Joe Trippi as a result of his work for former Vermont Governor Howard Dean. If you ever attended a Howard Dean meetup or any political candidate where the term meetup was used, that was the term. That was a term, I believe, coined by Joe Trippi. Joe joins us now. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Hey, great, Mike. How are you doing?
Did you come up with the word meetup?
No, meetup. Meetup.com was sort of born about 2 or 3 months before the Dean campaign, and it was mostly for people who wanted to knit together or play chess together. could join through Meetup, and we decided to hijack the thing and turn it into a political revolution, and it worked for both Meetup and us.
Okay, so you did activate the term, so to speak.
Oh yeah.
I sort of thought you did. By the way, how is Governor Dean doing?
I think he's doing a great job as the chairman. He's, we've got the you can't look at the results in 2006 complain too much about any of the committees, really. So I think everybody, if they finally got to actually play nice and not steal each other's toys in the sandbox, I mean, mm-hmm. between Rahm Emanuel and everybody else. But it worked out pretty well. I think he did a good job.
This is one hell of a presidential season, campaign season, that is beginning way too early. I think most people of normal intelligence are going to feel their heads explode before this is over. But what is interesting about it is that for the first time, I think, what did I read, since 1928, there is no sitting president or vice president who will be running for office.
That's right. It's wide open.
It's wide open on both sides, which means, I think, two things. First of all, it's going to be vicious. It's going to be an absolute bloodbath. That's A. B, I noticed that a lot of the major candidates are stating early on that they're not going to take public money because it's going to cost hundreds of billions of dollars, and they don't want any restrictions.
That's right. I mean, I think right now, I think we're up to something like 17 candidates on both sides. Most of them senators, so it's going to be tough, maybe get tough to get a quorum after a while here. But yeah, they're going to raise unbelievable amounts of money. I actually think that one of the candidates probably is going to end up raising $500 million, mostly because the Internet now makes it possible for, you know, 5 million people to give Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton or one of them, you know, $100 each. And that's, I mean, you can get to just amazing numbers. I think most of the candidates recognize that. Also, or I think on the Democratic side, we learned from watching, you know, Bush, who opted out against Gore in 2000. It's not, you know, and Gore stayed in the system and just got totally outspent. So you know, the Dean campaign, we were the first Democratic campaign to opt out. I mean, it was a tough decision to make. You don't want to do it. We didn't want to be the campaign that kind of ruined the public financing. But given what we were up against the Bush machine, we thought we had to do it. And Kerry ended up opting out as well. I don't think there'll be a candidate. The system's broken. I don't think any candidate will stay in it now.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I think you've already answered it, I was going to ask, is the idea of public campaign financing dead at this point?
Well, it's not. I don't know that it's dead in so much that it may be redefined. In other words, when 650,000 Americans, several hundred thousand of them contributed on average $77 to Howard Dean,
mm-hmm.
Isn't that public financing? Isn't that campaign finance reform? And that's sort of how we thought of ourselves at the time. And I think, you know, there's a difference. If a candidate were to get 5 million Americans to give them $100, that would be a pretty amazing thing. But it also mean all the special interest money and the corporate money suddenly doesn't mean anything. In fact, if 5 million of us did that,
mm-hmm.
we'd probably overthrow the way Washington works right now. I mean, it would just shock the system. So I think the current system is broke and is probably dead. I think the Internet, stuff that we did in the Dean campaign, shows the way possibly to a new kind of politics where people are participating and progressives can actually show the way and fund the things that we believe in.
Yeah, I would say that the definition, the old definition of public campaign financing is dead. But the new definition, definitely a definition that I, in my opinion, you wrote, a lot of people's opinion, you wrote the term and the definition on this, using the Internet to raise funds, using the Internet to reach people, to connect people. That sort of public, I agree with you, that is public financing of any issue on a basis that is impossible to, I think, impossible to corrupt.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we have to get more. I think we have to get there in the media. I think we have to get there in our politics. And I think NOVAM's a big piece of that. Getting you back on the air is a big piece of that. Keeping the progressive voices out there. And then also, like, if we can change politics by leveraging it, that's you know, getting rid of, I mean, there's a reason we don't have health care. It's not because there haven't been good plans. It's because a bunch of moneyed interests get out there and beat the living daylights out of whatever the plan is and scare the American people out and make it stop. So, you know, I think you know, we're beginning to see a real change. I hope we'll see more of it in 2008. I think we're seeing more of it today, and we'll just see how it builds for the rest of the cycle.
Let's talk for a second about NOVAM, because that's one of the reasons I wanted you to come on. And full disclosure, you are a consultant to this network, a media consultant.
Yeah.
What should people know about this company, about Nova M, other than if they subscribe, they get podcasts and downloads, what should they know? For example, they're not donating their money to Nova M. They're actually making a purchase. Nova M is we're a for-profit company. We can't
right.
accept donations.
But we can build a bigger and bolder progressive talk radio revolution if we all start working together, if people do subscribe and become founding premium members of the network. That, you know, I think the it's $100 a year, $9.99 a month.
Right.
But, you know, in terms of the podcast and the other premium things that people will be getting, what's happening is it's enabling the talk radio revolution that Nova M's mm-hmm. Leading to keep moving forward, to get people, not just you on the air, but get more progressive voices on the air, more stations around the country. And as Nova M becomes, has even more revenue, it can continue to build a network. And what I think what's sort of significant is, you know, a lot of people, like we all went out and have raised a lot of money for candidates and campaigns. And on November 7th or 8th or whatever day the election is that year, the candidate wins or loses, but, you know, there's really no lasting effect. I mean, building a radio network like Nova M and having those voices on 300 voices like yourself on 365 days a year, you know, out there moving the progressive agenda and speaking out and calling a foul when the Bush administration or someone else is screwing things up is pretty important. So I'm really happy to be part of it, and I think, you know, if people go to NovaMRadio.com, they can, you know, explore it, you know, look at the content and what they can get. But I think it's a big thing that that's bottom up. It's different than any other stuff that's going on out there. This is a network that starts at the bottom. We're going to grow it from the bottom up. It's going to be a grassroots radio revolution.
Well, that's the part that was so intriguing to me. You know, I spent 2 years with Air America, and there was an awful lot of, well, you know, without dumping on anybody, there was just a lot of weirdness that went on at Air America that is not here. This idea that you have brought to Nova M and you used in the Dean campaign and as a consultant, and I know you've consulted other than just political campaigns.
Right.
This is a new idea, though, for radio, entirely new. Appealing to people to become sponsors or founding members of a network. Is it more valid, or is that the wrong term, than the old way of just starting from the top down? You start a network, you sell advertising, and you get people to listen, or you don't. But which way do you think is more, if valid is not the right word, give me another one.
Well, valid, but I mean, it's freedom. I mean, the more people, the more a network or any a campaign that's funded by the people or a network that's funded by the people, it's free to say what the truth. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's free to say what it wants to say. And as it grows and becomes and builds its listenership, obviously more advertisers are going to come in, and if they don't want to. They don't want to sponsor the speech on this network. Tough. We'll have the ability to do it. So, in that sense, I think it's a much better way to do it than the traditional watch what you say, or one of the big corporations won't buy your ad time.
Yeah. Oh, is that true? What do you suggest that those of us who are on the air for Nova M, who are Nova M employees, and I think there's just two of us, Mike Newcomb and me at this point, what approach should we use to motivate people to become founding members? Because it is new, and I think I think we've got 1,000 or 1,200 members right now. We're surging for, or we're seeking 5,000. Surging? We're seeking for 5,000.
Yeah.
Oh God, please God, strike me dead. I used a Bush word. We're moving towards that 5,000 number, and a lot of the people are signing up are saying, "Well, I'm happy to donate." And you want to say back to them, no, this is not a donation. What do you suggest?
Well,
that? Go ahead.
It's not a donation. The fact is, by becoming one of the first 5,000, there's a couple things going on. The first 5,000 are going to get a chance to win a $10,000 award,
right,
from Novam. But also, by becoming a founding premium member, as this service expands and as we add new and exciting, I think, ways to listen to the shows and other product, they're going to be the first people that get those. And as we add things on later on, they're going to be the founding members who got this thing launched. I think
right.
That's a pretty important thing. Now, and I understand sort of the feeling of, hey, it's a contribution, but what it really is if you believe in the network, if you believe in progressive talk radio, if you believe in the revolution of bottom up freedom to have voices speak out,
mm-hmm.
When there are too many people in the world we live in today don't speak out, if you believe in that, you can put $100 a year or $9.99 on the table.
Well, you can help make it happen.
You can help make it happen.
Right, exactly.
And you get, access to all the archives, the commercial-free podcasts, you listen to any time, not just when the shows are on, but later on the next day or when you have some time or when you're in the car. So,
hey, Joe, can you hold on for a second?
Sure.
We got to do a couple-minute break here. We'll come back. We'll only have about 2 minutes when we come back. Can you hold on?
Of course.
Okay, stay right there. We'll put you on hold for a second. We're talking with Joe Trippi. You know who he is. Stick around. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Molloy. This is Nova M Radio.
Liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's more Mike Molloy.
It's about 7 before the hour. We're talking with Joe Trippi, who is well known to anyone in progressive politics or not in progressive politics. Trippi has certainly left his mark on the political system. He is now, among other things, a consultant for this brand new network, and that's what we're talking about tonight. What folks can do to make sure that Nova M is going to make it in the marketplace of ideas. The other thing, Joe, too, that I've tried to stress on the program in the week or the week and a half that we've been pushing the founder's idea, is that the live radio broadcasts are free,
right.
as are everyone else's. Podcasts aren't free. Every network charges for them. That's one of the basic elements that people get from being a founder are free downloads. I think folks need to remember that everything costs something.
And they get access to the audio archives that'll be building up over time, and those are going to get more important. I think, and there's going to be we're going to add other features as we move on. But I really think to be a founding member of the network. In the founding year, is such a big help, and there it is. You are getting, something for your money. You're getting
yeah.
the launch of a talk radio revolution at Nova M that's going to grow. You get the free podcast, commercial free, the audio archives. And just knowing that you're doing something good that's going to help help fight the good fight every day, 365 days a year, 24/7, without the and it's got a long last, a lot more long lasting than half than the campaign slogans and the election cycles that that we're trying to influence. So I think that's what matters here is getting the progressive message out. That's why I really am proud to be part of the Novim radio revolution. Hopefully we can keep growing it beyond the stations we have and beyond the voices we have.
Well, I can speak for those of us on behind the microphone that it was an absolute what's the word I'm looking for now? Thrill is not quite the word, but something like that, to find out that you were going to get involved in this. Because if anyone understands fundraising, the internet, internet marketing, how these ideas work, every idea has to be put together with nuts and bolts. Would that it were not that basic. You know, it would be nice if there were a tooth fairy, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But there is no tooth fairy. There is hard work putting something together.
Yeah, well, but, you know, we started the Dean campaign. We started with 432 people. I mean, 432 people, and no one thought we could get to 650,000 mm-hmm. people. I mean, it was an amazing thing. It shows what happens when people work together to make change. And look, Howard didn't win. I'm disappointed as just about everybody, but we made a big dent, a big change in politics, and I think that thing had a big campaign, had a big influence on what happened in 2006. So now you look at NovaM, and we're starting out, and I think we're up to 1,200 or so founding members now, with a short term goal of 5,000. But imagine what kind of a network, what kind of a voice, if 650,000 Americans became founding members of the NovaM radio network. I mean, that's what we're going to start small. We're sitting there at 1,100 today, 1,200 today. But that's how the Dean campaign started. That's how a revolution of change and giving a strong progressive voice.
I'll tell you what, as soon as I'm off the air tonight, I'm going to sign up from talking with you. Joe, you're an inspiration. Thank you so much. I hope we can get you back on this program to talk politics. All right?
Anytime. I really want to do it. I'm really happy to be on the show.
Thanks, Joe.
Take care.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is NovaM Radio Network. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. This is NovaM Radio. My name is Mike Malloy. Thank you for tuning in. And if you were listening to the brief conversation, all too brief, with Joe Trippi, we're going to get him back on and talk about politics. If you're listening to that, I think clearly states the case for becoming a founding member of NovaM Radio. All you have to do is go to NovaMRadio.com and become a founding member. However you want to do that. I'm not going to grind on this. This is very important stuff. It is one way that this network can grow from the bottom up with the support of people who believe that there should be progressive voices on the air. You know the reality out there. Come on, let's not kid ourselves, okay? We know the reality. We know what it takes. We've got the example of Air America that tried to do it and did it entirely wrong. And now after 3 years, they are going to tank. It's all over. I know what you've read in the papers about it's being revitalized. Okay, if you want to believe that, go ahead. But that's not what NovaM is. And what I just said in no way reflects on the people who busted their ass to make that network work, Air America. And I was among that group of eight or nine of us, on-air people and staff people who tried desperately to make it work. Couple of emails here. Anyway, go to novamradio.com, if you would, please, and become a founding member. This is from Joanne in San Francisco regarding what I said about Feingold and the Democrats. Joanne writes, Mike, it may be possible through the ongoing hearings and the Libby trial that there will be enough evidence to get both Bush and Cheney at one time. You have to have enough Republican votes to get them. You can't impeach and remove just the Democratic votes. Yes, it is frustrating, but you have to load the gun before you can shoot it. Joanne. All right, Joanne, that last line is probably going to get both of us a visit from Homeland Security or somebody. But, this is not the age where you can use metaphors. but I understand what you're saying. This is from R.S., subject line, maybe a little patience is needed. And R.S. writes, excuse me, I disagree with your blast at senators having to find experts to tell them what's what. There are, alas, many, many people who have to be shown, have to be led to reality after 6 years of BS. If there's ever accountability, impeachment, or in the history books, a record has to be laid down. I remind myself that it's only about a month since the start of the Democrats in Congress leadership. I'm prepared to be very disappointed, but so far, some of them aren't doing too badly. Russ Feingold, since he's not going to run for president, is perhaps someone to trust to do the right thing. Pardon me. I do trust Russ Feingold. I really do. Pam in Redmond, California. Mike, I think if you read the following, it will become clear why Feingold is following the steps, which he is, as he prepares to introduce legislation tomorrow to use the power of the purse to bring this hideous war to an end and bring our troops home. Hope you'll take this into consideration when you talk about this senator, whom I believe is very much trying to do what needs to be done. And what Pam is referring to is an article at truthout.org written by Roger Simon, entitled Feingold Ups the Ante on Iraq Funding. And let me just share some of this with you. Roger writes, Senate Democrats oppose the war in Iraq. They just don't plan on stopping it. They have discovered that standing up to the president is not quite as easy as vilifying him. Senator Russ Feingold, Democrat of Wisconsin, has decided, however, to challenge what he calls the timidity of Democratic leaders. He is going to introduce legislation cutting off funding for the Iraq war, and he may do it, he told me, as early as this week. I asked him whether Democratic voters were further to the left than their elected leaders, especially their presidential candidates, when it came to the war. Feingold said, quote, that is not only true of Democrats, it's true of the public as a whole. The mainstream view of the American people is to get out of Iraq, end quote. Cutting off funds only for the planned 21,000 troop surge in Iraq and passing resolutions condemning the war has become the fallback position of Senate Democrats who are fearful of being portrayed as unpatriotic, cowardly, or mommy party haters of the military. Yeah, mommy party. That's who labeled the Democrats with that label? That sounds like something out of the filthy pig man's mouth. Yeah. Back to what Roger wrote. Roger goes on, and they have reason to be afraid. The White House plays hardball. The White House is never reluctant to accuse those who opposes its policies in Iraq of being bashers of our troops and abettors of our enemies. The Bush administration released a statement last weekend saying that even those who just want to prohibit the surge are sending, quote, the wrong message to our troops, our enemies, and the Iraqi people, end quote. In Iowa, Sunday, Hillary Clinton said, quote, at this point, I am not ready to cut off funding for American troops. I am not going to do that, end quote. She said that even if Congress passed such a bill, it would be pointless because we have, quote, a president who will veto anything that impinges on his authority, end quote. Feingold, however, is not impressed with that argument. He said, quote, it is not true. This is a futile exercise. We can say no, unquote. If, for instance, the Democrats attached an Iraq funding cutoff to an appropriations bill, the president would risk shutting down the government by vetoing it. Some, including Joe Biden, who is running for president, says a funding cutoff probably is unconstitutional, which is why Feingold is chairing a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing Tuesday, today, to help, quote, help inform my colleagues and the public about Congress's power to end a war, end quote. Okay, well, there it is, and that's what my emailer wanted me to see. It's not that Feingold doesn't understand this. Sorry I shot from the hip. I just get so pissed off sometimes. I don't stop and think that some of these people are truly way, way smarter than I am and have to work a plan in order to stop this madness. So that's the line in Roger's article here. Feingold is chairing the Senate Judiciary Committee, or chaired it today, quote, to help inform my colleagues and the public about Congress's power to end a war, end quote. And then it goes on, just a couple more lines here. Feingold has gathered various legal and other experts to testify, but the result is a foregone conclusion. Feingold said, quote, I'm going to lay out the reality that Congress does have this power. The president does not have the unilateral power to continue the war without our consent, end quote. Feingold set a cutoff of funding 6 months down the law. Feingold set a cutoff of funding 6 months after the law is enacted, quote, makes sense, it is constitutional, our troops will not be left in the lurch, end quote. Feingold is going to put his fellow Democrats to the test. If you're really against the war, he's going to tell them, now's the time to show it. Feingold added, those Democrats who are timid on this, who are they listening to? The people don't want us to just talk about ending the escalation. They think the whole war is wrong. Okay, thanks. Thanks for the corrections there. Yeah, I get crazed. I really do sometimes, and that's why I'm not a rational, cool-headed talk show host like Tom Hartman, my good friend Tom Hartman. I guess that's what it takes, the baby steps. I just remember back in 2005 when Barbara Boxer and John Lewis and John Conyers and John Dean, Nixon's former White House counsel, and the whole clutch of legal scholars suggested Bush has committed impeachable offenses by illegally ordering the NSA to eavesdrop inside the country without a court warrant. Remember that? Norm Ornstein, a scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, a conservative think tank, even he admitted criminality or the severity of Bush's actions. Norm Ornstein said back then, quote, I think we're going to be intellectually honest here, this really is the kind of thing that Alexander Hamilton was referring to when impeachment was discussed, end quote. So, back after the break, I'm Mike Malloy.
I crash the man who does not stand to salute our president. Cause in these times we must fall in line. There's no room for dissent. And I support the troops, my friend, so I drive an SUV in honor of young souls who died to give the right to me.
Ready for a liberal helping of truth? It's more of Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour, and one more here. Seth writes in a thought on the eventual impeachment of Bush and Cheney. He says, I wrote this earlier on Democratic Underground. The effort being put forth by the House is thoughtful and deliberate. The leadership is building such a compelling case for impeachment and removal that there will be no gray areas for obfuscation. Yes, we all want these despicable psychotic men removed post-haste, but I believe that within 6 months we will have just that. My personal prediction is that within 30 days the articles will be filed. All right, there's a couple other things here I've just got to mention. This is from John in Springfield, Ohio. Mike, I've been a faithful listener for about a year now. I cannot wait until 9 p.m. comes on weeknights to listen to your show. Up until last night, I have never been offended by any of your remarks or comments. Last night, you chose to offer up comments at the beginning of your show about the media hype in regards to Barbaro being euthanized earlier in the day. I could say that your remarks were out of line, but it is your show and you may say whatever you like. I will point out that your remarks about Barbaro hurt me, and I am sure some other faithful listeners. Barbaro was a champion racehorse, and we will never know how great he could have been because his career and eventually his life were cut short because of the injury that he sustained in the Preakness. As a devoted race fan and an animal lover, your comments hurt, especially after enduring a day of sadness after the loss of Barbaro. These feelings may be hard for some to understand, but to some like may become very natural. I enjoy your comments much more when they're directed at mass murderers like Bush and Cheney. I'm not deserting you at all. We remain an avid fan and listener. John in Springfield. I thought I made it clear. Apparently, I did not. I thought I made it clear that my focus was not on the necessity to put down a horse. My focus was on the fact that ABC Radio News used that story as the lead story. It took about 4 minutes in their newscast last night. Now, I went on to say that I, at one time in my life, was a writing instructor at a YMCA writing camp. I taught Western writing. I have spent hours working with horses, teaching young kids how to ride, and at the end of the day, taking care of saddle sores and working in the tack room and spraying down horses at night before we turned them out into the fields and going out the next morning with a pan full of oats, rattling the oats to bring them back in. I happen to think, since this is being brought up, that horse racing, like dog racing, is not a you know, they call it the sport of kings, but when you stop and think, Barbaro did not fracture his leg in three places because he was trying to mount a mare. He fractured his leg in three places because human beings were betting on him in a race and forcing him to do something that Barbaro was not inclined to do without a rider on his back and a whip in the hand of the rider, and that is run his ass off for less than 2 miles. Now, I've gotten three or four of these emails, and either some of you folks just don't get it or you have the inability to really listen when I said my argument was not with the putting the horse down. What has to be done has to be done. The argument was with, or my comment, my criticism was with ABC of all the stuff that's going on. I don't give a damn how much of a horse lover you are, and I don't think you could be more of a horse lover than I am. I don't care. That story did not warrant 3.5 minutes at the beginning of a national newscast when George W. Bush is ready to send goddamn nuclear bombs into Iran. The nuclear bombs will kill horses and people. Now, for you people who are sending me these emails about Barbaro, for Christ's sake, stop it. If you don't understand or didn't understand what I said in the moment, that is your problem. If you don't understand now what I'm saying, that the story does not warrant the top of a national newscast for 3 minutes. It's a horse.
Hey, Mike.
Yes?
You ought to see the email I get any time I play that God Kills a Kitten promo.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Well, I mean, come on, folks. Good Lord. When Molly gets old enough, I hope I remember when my other daughters, Wendy and Libby, were little. You could buy a horse. That's right. Buy a horse for $300 or $400. And we their grandma and grandpa had a farm where we could keep them. I don't know what the hell it costs now, but I would love to have Molly grow up learning how to take care of an animal that big and all the work that goes with it. But she'll never force him into a horse race.
coming to our friends.
The Mike Malloy Show, because each time you listen to right-wing radio, God kills a racehorse.
Yeah, I'm married to her, too. You think Kathy isn't cold? Woo! Oh. We used to have fights. We did, like any married couple, until I realized that when Kathy goes to a knife fight, she brings a goddamn tank.
Till you realize that at some point, you got to go to sleep.
Twenty-five before the hour, Linda wrote in, a word from Sam Adams, no, not the beer, to the Repiglitons. Here's the quote. If you love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom, go home from us in peace. We ask not your counsel or your arms. Crouch down and lick the hands of those who feed you. May your chains set lightly upon you. May posterity forget that you were our countrymen. Woo! All right. Thanks, Linda. Let's do a phone call here quick. John in Missouri has been holding on for an hour and a half. John, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Hey, my wife and I want to thank you for the compliment you gave us on the picture of our son I sent you.
Oh, yeah. What a gorgeous little kid. Jesus.
Yep. Sorry, the old bald deadhead was in the pic with him.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm not talking about you, but but no, I have the same problem when Kathy takes pictures of Molly. I always say, don't get me in it. You have a very, very cute little boy. God, that kid is cute.
Well, back at you about Molly. I would say ditto, but
please don't.
Yeah, like the rest of the English language, that's stolen. Hey, the reason I was calling you is I was watching Oberman tonight, and he did another awesome special comment.
Uh-huh.
He just left the TV on, and then that nasty old Republican that had the dead chick in his office came on.
Yeah,
immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately when that happened, it went into breaking news. Iran behind deadly ambush on U.S. soldiers.
Oh my God!
The first thing that came out of first thought in my head was Blackwater, Black Ops.
Yeah, well, we talked about this the other night that since that old saying, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, looks like a duck, it might be a duck. And the Iraqi guard said that these people who came in the vehicles normally used by Americans, not necessarily American soldiers, even though these people were dressed as American soldiers and had the ID. Well, the first thought is, hell yeah, this is a Negroponte operation. This is just what the son of a bitch did in Central America by getting Rios Montt and some of the other murderers in Central America to go kill people like in the villages of in Guatemala, wherever. It's just insane. And so that was punch one. These five Americans are killed, four of them obviously executed. Punch two comes when all of a sudden breaking news, it was Iranians.
That's right. And everybody was saying, hey, we need patience. We got to build a case for impeachment. I could say a really nasty word that.
No, don't.
I know. I'm not going to. We don't have time anymore for that. And I want everybody that listens to your show to go to www.impeachthem.com. It's the North Jersey Impeachment Group.
Uh-huh.
They have an article featured on their homepage.
What is it again? Impeach him?
No, impeach them, T-H-E-M.
Okay, .com.
That's right. There's an article on there called Impeachment is Off the Table? It's by an anonymous author. And let me just say that the sexy librarian in the next room goes to bed with the anonymous author every night.
I wonder who that could be. You wrote it. All right, impeachthem.com. And
correct.
It's under the name John, and your last name is there, right?
No.
Oh, who?
Absolutely not. It says anonymous.
Oh, anonymous. And, okay, but you wrote it.
Possibly. I think I've already sent the article to you.
Well, maybe in my email. I'm down to about 700 emails I haven't opened. So, and that's an accomplishment for me. But I will try to get to it, John. I swear to God, I will. You might want to send it one more time. Just send me the link.
I appreciate that. And this whole thing about Iran, you know, my brother graduated from Annapolis in 06, and he's actually in, now it escapes me, Quantico, Virginia.
Right.
He's doing intel training.
Mm-hmm.
His commander told him, now, this is absolute truth. I talked to him over Christmas. He got to come home for Christmas. My other brother, Stephen, did not. He is in Iraq. They're both Marines. He told me that his commander said, after the election, that he was possibly his deployment after training school was going to be Iran, but the election changed that. Now he was back on track to go to Iraq, where Stephen is. Okay, and then I hear this tonight. Sounds like maybe he is going to Iran. Sounds like the commanders, the brass, don't even know what this crazy group of thugs are doing.
Yeah, that's possibility A and B. Possibility C could be that they're not planning on sending troops in, that they're planning on sending in missiles.
Yeah, have Israel nuke them.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, that's going to be World War III.
Oh, my God.
I don't think people understand that.
I don't think so either. I don't think, you know, I do have a complaint against all the good Democrats in the House and the Senate. That they are, you know, the old expression, the military always fights the last war. It looks like Congress here in both houses are addressing the Iraq problem, which needs to be addressed. In the meantime, these murderous sons of bitches are locking and loading for an attack on Iran. And I just, nobody's talking about Iran, not in this country. The foreign press is talking about it. The Russians are talking about it. The Brits are talking about it. The French and the Germans. Everybody's talking about it except here.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The thing that upsets me the most, what nobody is talking about, is the Project for a New American Century, PNAC. They are following this, you know, regardless of what the public opinion polls go, regardless of how obvious they are following the PNAC plan. Hey, they got, you know, with 9/11, they got their new Pearl Harbor, all right?
Yeah.
They've got the Iraq War. Now they're talking about getting the Iran War with this BS about, you know, our five soldiers being killed by Iranians.
Yeah.
Iranians that speak English and are driving American vehicles. You know, it sounds like Blackwater to me.
It does. It sounds like Blackwater, or it sounds
like Black
sounds...
Ops.
Or Black Ops. They're
both. Because, you know, that's something else I really would like to know. This company, Blackwater, there's been some great articles, and I cannot remember the author's name, but he's investigated Blackwater. I think he even has a book out about them.
Yes, I know who you're referring to, yeah.
With Skakehill or something like that?
I think that's it, yeah.
Okay. You know, they've got this $1 billion defense budget going into them that should be going to our troops. All this support our troops crud is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
My brother Stephen was complaining. You know, he had a sergeant that was sitting next to him. His tour of duty was up. And instead of re-enlisting the Marines, he joined with a private contractor. He
right.
is back working next to Stephen. He's making $100,000 a year, which is a heck of a lot more than he was making as a sergeant in the Marines.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother's biggest complaint wasn't the money. It was that this guy didn't have to shave. He doesn't have to wear a uniform.
And he's not subject to the Universal Code of Military Justice.
Exactly.
And that's the big difference. That's the killer right there.
Right there. And my next question is, if Blackwater has this $1 billion defense budget and they're in tight, I mean, they funded Bush's election campaign, the guy that runs it. I can't remember his name. He's like one of those Christian fundamentalist,
yes,
dominionist guys.
He is indeed.
Are they given access to biological, chemical weapons? Are they given access to intelligence? They most likely are.
Oh, God.
So, you know, that's a good question to leave out there. You know, people can write us off. You, me, people listen to your show as conspiracy theorists. But right there, that is a psyops framing point.
It is.
Right there.
It is,
you know,
indeed.
Just dismiss it. Plausible deniability. Those right. guys, they're crazy, you know.
Oh, God. All right. Well, John, do what I do. Hold on to your kid. I mean, it's getting bizarrer and bizarrer. So,
hey, just tell everybody to go to that website, read that article. They've got the author's permission to cut and paste it. They need to email it to everybody they can, because there's got to be an explanation why they're not impeaching this guy.
Impeachthem.com and read the article by Anonymous.
It's called, it says, impeachment is off the table, question mark.
All right, we'll do it. Thanks, John. Right. Thanks for checking in. Take care. Check it out. Go ahead. The author must be somebody John knows. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Maloney.
Just look up.
Soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Maloney.
Ten before the hour. All right, Anthony, I'm going to read it. Subject line is Founders Club. Mike, I know you don't know me. I'm Anthony, and his last name, from Grand Forks, North Dakota. I listen to you every night on the Internet, primarily for entertainment, and I'm not the biggest fan of George W. Bush, especially after he got us in Iraq. For what? I just wanted to mention that just now I signed up for your Founders Club, and it just took me a few seconds to register, and I'm one-handed due to cerebral palsy. Thanks for doing all you do. And then his name and his group that he hangs out with online. Thanks, Anthony. Philip Cooney, the former White House. This is from June of 2005 in the New York Times. Philip A. Cooney, the former White House staff member who repeatedly revised government scientific reports on global warming, will go to work for ExxonMobil this fall, the oil company said yesterday. This is June 15th, 2005. Mr. Cooney resigned as chief of staff for President Bush's Environmental Policy Council on Friday, 2 days after documents obtained by the New York Times revealed that he had edited the reports in ways that cast doubt on the link between the emission of greenhouse gases and rising temperatures. A former lawyer and lobbyist with the American Petroleum Institute, the main lobbying group for the oil industry, Mr. Cooney has no scientific training. The White House, which said on Friday that there was no connection between last week's disclosure and Mr. Cooney's resignation, repeated yesterday that his actions were part of the normal review process for documents on environmental issues involving other government agencies, yada, 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 yada. Dana Perino, a deputy spokeswoman for the White House, said, "Philip Cooney did a great job, and we appreciate his public service and the work that he did, and we wish him well in the private sector." An Exxon spokesman, Tom Sirigliano, declined to describe Mr. Cooney's new job. Mr. Cooney did not respond to email or phone messages. ExxonMobil has long financed advertising and lobbying efforts that question whether warming caused by humans poses risks serious enough to justify curbing carbon dioxide. Blah, 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 blah. Mr. Sirigliano, the Exxon spokesman, said yesterday that the company was committed to acting responsibly on the issue, He said, quote, ExxonMobil has taken, is taking, and will continue to take tangible actions to reduce emissions in our operations, as well as in customer use of our products, and to better understand and prepare for the risks of climate change, end quote. These rotten sons of bitches. Now, let me ask you something. Why is not Rush Limbaugh and Philip Cooney and the entire board of directors of ExxonMobil and the people on the White House staff who deliberately lied, risking the lives of Americans, risking the lives of people across the planet. Why are these people not rounded up and taken someplace and given a good stern talking to? Why are they allowed to continue to do this? For how many years has this useless rat bastard Limbaugh been a whore, a street, nothing against sex workers, a dirty, filthy, filthy political whore for the Bush crime family? Day after day, that rancid son of a bitch on his radio program and his clones repeated for over a decade. There's no such thing as global warming. It's cyclical. Don't worry about it. It'll go away. Go to sleep. And this pig, this filthy human being, Limbaugh, makes millions of dollars to get out there as a whore for everything evil and rotten in the Republican Party, which is everything, and promote it as if it were true. And corporate America backs him, and corporate America sponsors him, and radio station after radio station puts this piece of human waste on the air, day in and day out. Do the radio stations that carry the Limbaugh program not understand that if there's no air to breathe, there won't be any radio stations? What the hell is wrong with everybody? Why is Limbaugh still on the air? Why is Bush still in office? Why is ExxonMobil allowed to continue to do what they do? What is it going to take? What do we need to see? Do we need to see the entire ice shelf of Antarctica slide off and tilt the goddamn planet off its axis? Will that be enough? Day in and day out, constantly, these demons are allowed to walk amongst us and be on the radio and run our institutions and run the country and lobby for filth and dirt and death and disaster and disease and destruction. Why is Limbaugh allowed to open his mouth? And why do people listen to this pig? What is it? What are we? Oh, my God. It can't all be dominionist Christians who want to embrace death because they think, I get to go see Jesus. I get to go see Jesus. What is it that allows this kind of filth to slop around inside this country? This rancid, wasted human being, Limbaugh, and all these people who spout the same filthy lies, and now Congress, finally, is saying there's evidence that senior Bush administration officials sought repeatedly to mislead the public by injecting doubt into the science of global warming. Jesus God. Oh, but that's right. Bush has to base his decisions on sound science, not on science. Henry Waxman said, we know that the White House possesses documents that contain evidence of an attempt by senior administration officials to mislead the public by injecting doubt into the science of global warming and minimizing the potential danger. Christ, I can't breathe. Wonder what's up with that. Oh, have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these bastards? Welcome back, 7 past the hour. I can't think of any human being that is not in government that irritates me more, viscerally so, than the pig Rush Limbaugh. The damage this filthy man has done with the willfully ignorant is just incalculable. This is from Spitfire. A while back, I said the reason the Bush crime family invaded Iraq was because Saddam was trying to get the sanctions lifted so he could sell his oil and rebuild his country. The report on CNN about attacking Iran concluded with the speculation that Iran could disrupt the flow of oil through the Persian Gulf, causing the price of crude to go to $100 a barrel. This would make Texas oil men and the Saudis very happy. But, of course, Bush wouldn't do this because he's a godly man who isn't interested in making those types of people rich. Jesus. Great Hair wrote again, "Hi, Mike. I read a long time ago about how he ordered all scientific reports to be cleared by the White House, and they were not allowed to use the words of global warming." This is from today's New York Times. And, yeah, we had... We had that story to get to tonight. With all the revelations coming out right now of how federal scientists were pressured to play down global warming, how this is not new to you. It's not new to me. We've been talking about this for 5 years. For 5 years! How reports that came from the scientific community, if they didn't fit this pig's agenda, they were deep-sixed or changed, or and the American people repeatedly lied to for the enrichment of Bush and Cheney and these monsters that now run the country. Over and over, I don't care what the issue was, drugs, oil, food, any kind of regulation, the environment, mines, mills, dams, bridges, railroad, anything. On and on and on for 6 long years. There's a hearing in the House today, chaired by Henry Waxman. At that hearing, two private advocacy groups produced a survey of 279 government climate scientists, showing that many of them say they have been subjected to political pressure aimed at downplaying the climate threat. Their complaints ranged from a challenge to using the phrase global warming to raising uncertainty on issues on which most scientists basically agree to keeping scientists from talking to the media. It's just horrifying. I mean, even you right-wing halfwits who lurk and listen to this program, don't you understand? Do you think Jesus is going to come and pull your ass out of this mess? You are so wrong. If you really want to see Jesus, you know you could do it very quickly. Right now, you could go to Jesus and leave the rest of us alone. You think it's over, though? No, it's not over. From today's New York Times, Bush signs executive order that increases his control over government regulations. They use the word sway, his sway over government. Jesus, who wrote that headline? President Bush has signed a directive that gives the White House much greater control over the rules and policy statements that the government develops to protect public health, safety, the environment, civil rights, and privacy. Do you understand what's going on here? In an executive order published last week in the Federal Register, Mr. Bush said that each agency must have a regulatory policy office run by a political appointee. This is Sovietism. This is Stalinism. His foreign policy is Nazi-like. His domestic policy is right out of Stalin's playbook. Stalinism. Each agency must have a regulatory policy office run by a political appointee to supervise the development of rules and documents providing guidance to regulated industries. The White House will thus have a gatekeeper in each agency to analyze the costs and the benefits of new rules and to make sure the agencies carry out the president's priorities. Son of a bitch! The president's priorities, not the people's, not the societies, not the nations. What did Bush say the other day about the Iraqis? After this fight that everybody's trying to tell us that the Iraqi army conducted, when the Iraqi army didn't have a goddamn thing to do with it, 300 Iraqi soldiers of some sort were butchered by Americans, by American gunships and F-16s and F-18s. Oh, but we're supposed to stand back and say, oh, well, the Iraqi army did. Oh, good for them. They're killing their own. Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, and what did Bush say? Well, they're starting to show me something now. What the hell is going on? Well, you know what's going on. Don't ask a dumb question, Malloy. Mr. Bush said each agency must have a regulatory policy office run by a political appointee to supervise the rules and documents to make sure the agencies carry out the president's priorities. This, the New York Times says, strengthens the hand of the White House in shaping rules that have in the past often been generated by civil servants and scientific experts. It suggests that the administration still has ways to exert its power after the takeover of Congress by the Democrats. The administration was particularly concerned about rules and guidance issued by the Environmental Protection Agency and the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. Why, of course. Because those rules and regulations affect the corporate murderers, the sons of bitches. Do you know, where did I read this today? Where did I read this? Fascism is capitalism plus murder. That's what we have in this country. Do you understand that? Who said that? Fascism is capitalism plus murder. It's astonishing. Francesca Griffo, senior scientist, Union of Concerned Scientists, told the Senate committee that the survey and separate interviews with scientists who have been pressured by these pigs, quote, has brought to light numerous ways in which U.S. federal climate science has been filtered, suppressed, and manipulated in the past 5 years. Drew Schindel, a climate scientist with NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies, said that climate scientists frequently have been dissuaded from talking to the media about their research. Prior to the change, interview requests of climate scientists frequently were, quote, routed through the White House, end quote, and then turned away or delayed, said Ms. Schindel, or Mr. Schindel. He described how a news release on his study forecasting a significant warming in Antarctica was, quote, repeatedly delayed, altered, and watered down at the insistence of the White House. Good God. Now, this has all been piecemeal and over the past 6 years, and I have to say that there have been several of us in so-called liberal talk radio who have tried, and now that the blogs are going, in the past 3 or 4 years with the bloggers weighing in, but there were several of us alone in the wilderness. I don't usually take credit. I don't usually say, well, we've been talking about this forever. But by Christ, I'm going to take credit now. Peter Werby and me and about 5 or 6 other progressive talk show hosts have been talking about this since day one. All the lies and the changes and the truth that was kept from the American people. How the regulatory agencies have been turned into nothing but cat houses. Agency after agency polluted, corrupted, destroyed by Bush as he larded each one with industry representatives of the very industries these regulatory agencies were supposed to ride herd on. It is just... Is this not impeachable? Ah, Jesus!
All things and what they used to be.
Any collective approach is one based upon sound science and not based upon science.
We are a rock revolving around a golden sun. We are a billion children rolled into one. So when I hear about the hole in the sky, salt water.
21 past the hour. Oh, and by the way, we mentioned this last night, but I just got an email from someone who mentioned Margaret, who brought it up again. I am not a praying person. I really do not believe that prayer is anything except a person talking to himself or herself. So I don't know how to suggest that you keep Molly Ivins in your thoughts. How's that? Not that that will do anything for Molly Ivins. She is, from what I understand, is in... critical condition with metastasized cancer. It has come back for the third time. The breast cancer that she dealt with back in 99, it's come back, and it's throughout her body. So, I never know what to say about stuff like this because prayer doesn't work. It's nonsense. Thinking about somebody, I don't know what that does, if anything, except to validate that person inside my own head or your own head. I don't know. Whatever you do, but Molly Ivins is certainly a treasure for this country as a writer, a political commentator, a woman, a Texan, good person, and she's. She's dealing with this situation even as we speak. Okay? Just however you do that. I don't know. I don't know how I deal with it. To me, prayer, like I said, I'm not trying to offend you, but prayer is nonsense. It's, unless talking to yourself does something, if that works for you, okay. Whatever. So... All right, we've got to go to some calls here. Sarge is calling from Mississippi. Sarge, thanks for your patience. Welcome to the program tonight.
Hey, how are you, Mike?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Oh, I could be doing better. I hate to hear that about Molly.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
And I also heard bad news about Bob Kincaid's dad. His dad's taken a turn for the worse.
Yeah, that's the guy at Head On Radio, headonradio.com, Bob Kincaid. There's somebody else to maybe think about. But, it just seems like if it's not bad news, there's no news. Eh, Sarge?
Yeah, Jim Yancey was supposed to be on with Bob tonight. And last night their heat went out in their house, and then they had to go to the hospice where his dad is. And then his dad didn't want him to leave him today, and Agnes got home and only had like 3 hours sleep, so I called Jim and set it up for another night for him. But it's really sad to see good people suffering like Molly and Bob.
Well, it's good of you to do that too. But that's what you're about. You step in and help folks through hard times, and that's why people who know about you love you, Sarge.
Well, I just. I could tell she was having a hard go of it, and she was really stressed. And they're so good to me. I it was just second nature. But also something I want to talk about with you too, before I get into the meat of what I called about. We have set up a thing. I met a guy from Alabama, and he's a progressive, or liberal, if you will. And he and I have gotten together. He has his own website, and he heard me on this show, and we got together, and we're forming a group called Southern Progressives United, and you can join it at the forums at unreportednews.net.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you don't have to be a Southerner. You can be like AJ, you know. You can just be interested to meet some Southerners who don't think like right-wingers and come on in and meet us. That's what it's all for.
That's good. Where is this now? This is at unreportednews.net in the forum section?
Right. You can just click on the forums there at the front page and get to it.
What are you trying to do? Blow up some stereotypes?
Yeah. You know, I was telling... Jeff Ferris.
Mm-hmm.
If we keep up with this Mississippi mission and we keep it going, and the liberals, progressives start acting like we're doing right now, if we keep this up, I can see a Nova M station affiliate right on the Mississippi coast in Jackson County. In fact, I'm kind of thinking there's a chance of it within a year.
Boy, I'd like to see that. Sarge, hold on a second. I got to do a break here. We'll come back and finish up on the other side of the break. And thanks to everybody who let me know. It was Upton Sinclair who said fascism is capitalism plus murder. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Good to see, be able to look in people's eyes and not see them all bloodshot.
You sorry son of a bitch. We're talking with Sarge in Mississippi. That's why we're playing Dixie. All right, now, Sarge, you wanted to get to the... You're going to start this forum where people can meet progressive Southern males and females, I guess black and white. Now, what else did you want? And where is that? Let's go to unreportednews.net and then go to the forums section.
That's right.
Okay.
And, of course, while you're there, just go ahead and read our stuff. And pretty soon we're going to have a newscast, and Billy Shears is going to be helping us do the music with it and everything.
Well,
and AJ.
Cool.
So we're going to have a pretty nice site.
It sounds like it. All right. Now, what you really called about?
Okay. What I really called about. I wanted to ask you a question about this Libby trial.
Yeah.
How deep do you think these people are going to get into this Libby situation?
Not very. I think that this thing has been scripted. I don't think the judge has been included, but certainly Fitzgerald, the prosecutor, has been included. I think the defense attorneys have been included in these discussions about how far it's going to go. I could be entirely wrong, but I don't trust anybody anymore except my immediate family and you.
Oh, boy, that's dangerous. Mike, thank you. Thank you, buddy. I'm going to let you go.
All right. Take care, Sarge. Uh-huh. All right. Now, Kathy wanted me to talk about that tonight, but I had this other stuff. Maybe we'll get to it tomorrow, the testimony that's coming out, especially by that snake, Ari Fleischer, what a lying son of a bitch he turned out to be. Just for how many years did he stand there and lie? You called it, Kathy. You knew he was lying through his teeth.
I'm going to need blood pressure medication if I think about Ari the liar too much. A couple of years, I just couldn't believe it. I have archives. I'm going to have to go back and find some of those notes. I've spoken with Karl Rove. I have every assurance.
Yeah. Well, now it turns out, or so the line is with Ari Fleischer, is that he was kept out of the loop. I read in the New York Times today this kind of apologia about Ari Fleischer. Poor dumb bastard, didn't even know what was going on, and neither did McClellan, that they were deliberately kept out of the loop so that the Bush crime family could lie through their teeth. Do you believe that?
Hell no. I mean, McClellan's an idiot. I mean, that's why we called him Simple Scotty, because he really is like some surfer geek who couldn't, you know, find his way out
now
of it.
Wait a minute. We have a lot of surfer geeks to listen.
A really, really stupid surfer geek. You know, think of Spicoli on Fast Times at Ridgemont High surfer geek.
Oh, that
you know.
Type. Okay.
Exactly.
Right.
No, but I mean, but Ari Fleischer was an evil genius to the likes of Karl Rove. I mean, he probably aspired to be Rove. He's not an idiot.
Yeah, well... All right, back to the phone calls. Gary is calling from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Has been holding on for a couple hours. Gary, thanks for your patience.
Hi, Mike, I appreciate the hard work and passion that you put into your program. It makes a valuable experience for me.
Well, thanks.
You know, I think I may have a little bit of an understanding of how you feel about the misguided priorities of the media. This past weekend, I spent about $400 to be a part of 500,000 people that went to Washington.
Uh-huh.
And I opened up the liberal newspaper Monday morning to see what it says about it. And, you know, this liberal USA Today paper, it takes me to 8 pages before mm-hmm. I find anything about the thing, anything. And then there's two sentences of one picture, and they talk about tens of thousands of people there.
Mm-hmm.
The only person I heard in the media that says anything about it that is Bob Schieffer said hundreds of thousands.
Mm-hmm.
He said that.
Well,
you know, it just makes me so mad. I understand exactly what you're saying, and I think. You asked a question, I think John from Missouri, why the Democrats, and now that they've got power, why they're not doing anything. I think it basically boils down to some of this wiretapping has been wiretapping of them, and they don't know how much dirt they have against them. That's all I can figure.
I wouldn't be surprised. But regarding media, I've said it before, and I'm sure you'll agree, and I think most people who are paying attention in this country would agree, that we would not be in the position we're in were it not for the fact that we had a media back in 99 and 98 that was totally compliant. They were having such a good time ganging up on Clinton and his girlfriend, and they gave such a free pass to this monster, George Bush, and the monster people that have come to work for him. And since 99 and 2000, they have just up until the last 6 or 7 months, until the people of the United States said no more, we don't want this son of a bitch being our president anymore, then finally some media are starting to come around now. But had it not been for the fact that television and print promoted this thug, we would not be in the position that we're in. I really believe that.
And I believe the only reason that they're starting to come around now is because they're starting to smell you know, what's happening. They realize that with the blog and the internet, they might be out of jobs pretty soon. You know, the value is rapidly diminishing.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
You know, before I let you go, what was the source of the, what was the law that you talked about at the beginning of your program? I think it's really important that we contact, for whatever it's worth, to give spine to our leadership and let them know that we believe they need a job, they have a job to do, and they need to do it. And,
well, that I was quoting from the Geneva Conventions on war crimes, the definition of war crimes, and you can get it by doing a Google search. And the other was the international agreement or laws on torture. And again, you can get the information by doing a Google search. And
I've done the Google search on Geneva Convention. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand that it had that connection with our government. I mean, as far as the penalties, if they were right in there spelled out.
Well, the Geneva Conventions, and I think there were four meetings, three or four, where as sick as it sounds, the rules of war were laid out, what is permissible and what is not permissible. And it applies to everybody, all the signatories, and the United States is a signatory. These were agreements that were worked out and signed back in the late 40s after the horror of World War II. And as Bush likes to say, well, that was a long time ago. That doesn't count anymore. This is 2007. Why should we pay any attention to something that was determined in the 1940s? That's how sick and useless this rat bastard is. But that's what I was quoting from.
Yeah, we have to pay attention to it because we agreed to it. We signed on to it. And it's also what is right.
Yeah, well, that's I think the main thing is the last thing you said there. It's right. It's just.
Yep.
It makes sense. There are certain things that human beings should not do. And the Bush crime family says, no, that doesn't apply to us. We'll do what we damn well please. It's incredible. Yep. Gary, thanks for checking in.
Thanks.
And
thanks
again,
for your program.
All right, sir. I appreciate your patience. Thanks a lot. Matthew is calling from Bedford, Texas. Matthew, welcome to the program.
I'm back.
Say it again.
I'm back.
Oh, okay, Matthew. I'm glad you're back.
I don't know. Listen, first of all, I wanted to comment on something you had said a couple weeks ago when you were talking about baby pictures and how you feel there's no such thing as an ugly baby. I have two words for you.
Yeah.
Dick Cheney.
Okay.
If you think he was a pretty baby, then we have.
I've never seen his baby pictures, but I have seen baby pictures of people who turn out to be real trolls. But I really do believe that there's no such thing as an ugly baby. I'm sorry. Now, I'm not talking about newborns. I think all newborns are ugly. They're pinched and they're red. I don't care what race they are. They're still red. They can be African American, Caucasian American, Asian. I don't care what they are. They're all red.
That just means they were just spit out of hell.
Yeah, and whoa! No! Babies come from heaven.
Oh yeah, that's what the Christians want you to believe.
Well, don't you like babies?
I like the quiet one.
You like the quiet. All right, Matthew, you're talking fantasy now. There's no such thing as a quiet baby. But
I know.
You really called about, Matthew.
What I really called about was, first of all, you were mentioning religion. I would like to agree with you. As you know, I am not religious, and so
I know you're our 15-year-old Texas atheist, right?
17-year-old.
I'm sorry, 17-year-old Texas atheist.
Who was looking forward to going into the sea of nothingness. But listen, the Christian's mindset, the evangelical's mindset, are different from yours and mine. So they make decisions that we consider to be just insane. So, I mean, everything is justified to them.
Right.
And I'm sorry, listeners, if you're a Christian, I do not hate Christians. I hate Christianity and what it has done to the world.
Right.
Well, same thing with all religion.
Hold on a second, Matthew. Okay. I got to take a break here. When we come back, we're just going to have a couple of minutes, so you got to make it quick, okay? All right. Matthew cracks me up. I love hearing from him, but I think about how old I was when he was born.
I wonder if we could get him to babysit.
And everyone's for me. Children crying, people dying, no one seems to care. This old world is a closing in, there's no hope anywhere. I'll never sing a sad song again, 'cause I'll be gone to heaven.
Ten before the hour, I guess that's for Matthew. Thanks to Ian Huff, who engineered the program in Phoenix tonight and also handled your phone calls. Thanks to Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, our webmaster, the moderators at MikeMalloy.com on the message board, and the executive producer of this program, Catherine Bay, who got her share of nasty emails tonight because of the nasty thing she said about God kills a horse. Jesus. All right, let's go back to Matthew in Bedford, Texas. All right, Matthew, you got about a minute here, pal.
Okay, just to clarify, I don't hate babies. I just hate the sounds they made. I had to live with a 3-month-old cousin, and
Matthew, somebody had to live with you too, right?
Yeah, I know.
Now, what did you really call about?
Anyway, as I said, religion, not a big fan of it. If you're religious, no offense to the listeners. Secondly, I love horses myself. I never owned one. I've never really ridden one, but there's a farm near our house. We live in a suburban, but there's a farm. And we used to pet the horses. I do not feel that euthanizing a horse is worth a 3-hour news special.
Right.
Finally, I haven't been able to comment on this, but I completely agree with your, oh gosh, I'm agreeing all the way, but your comments on Israel, I also agree with you, and most Democrats do not, I do. They're a sovereign nation, they deserve scorn, and somebody's got to give it to them if they're doing something wrong.
That seems like a pretty simple proposition to me. All right, Matthew, thanks for checking in, pal. I appreciate it.
All right.
All right, we'll hope to hear from you again. Take care. I love horses. I'm going to say this one more time. I really do. They happen to be the definition of a beast of burden. I know from working with horses for a number of years that they truly are dumb animals. They are not bright. you can love a horse. You can anthropomorphize a horse as much as you want to. But they are not bright animals. Compared to what, Malloy? Okay, compared to a dog? Compared to a pig? Compared to, I don't know, a cat even? Yes, Catherine?
I believe you and I are both forgetting the first rule of holes.
When you're in one, stop digging?
I had ixnay on the horse hay for the rest of the evening.
You're probably right, but I'm just saying I'm not even going to finish that statement because it would have been nonsensical. But I have spent an enormous amount of time working with horses. I love horseback riding. I love taking care of them. I'm one of those riders that believes if you're going to do something as profoundly unfair as get up on the back of a horse in modern day America, you better be prepared to treat the horse respectfully, to take care of the horse, to understand that you have something on the horse's back that is very uncomfortable, that cinches around his or her belly, that hurts like a son of a bitch. You have a steel bit in that horse's mouth, unless you are using a hackmore. You are pulling this way and that way, which puts metal pressure on very tender flesh on that horse. Yada, 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 yada. But I still don't think that ABC should lead a newscast with the death of a racehorse that has been violently abused by its owner, its trainer, and its jockey.
Can we go back to talking about Iran now?
Yes. Tim is calling from Los Angeles. Tim, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, thank you for having me on, and it's great to hear you in Los Angeles.
Yeah, how are you listening? You must be listening on Sirius.
Yes, I am.
Okay, there you go.
And the reason for my phone call is because, I'm sorry, kind of nervous. Well, the reason for my phone call is because...
Well, don't be nervous. I mean, you know, the worst that can happen is the talk radio monster will come up out of your phone and rip your head off.
Thanks, Mike.
Right. There's nothing to be worried about. Take a break, Tim. Jesus, come on, man. This is just a phone call.
Okay.
All right. Now, what did you call about?
Okay, the reason why I'm calling is because they're talking about going to war with Iran.
Yes.
But I read and I heard, and I have actually the website, of Halliburton is in Iran. So if we do go to war with Iran, wouldn't it disrupt the money flow from Iran to Halliburton?
Yeah, but they'll make a lot more after we take over the oil wells. Yeah, Halliburton has been dealing with Iran. I don't know if they are right now, but when Cheney was involved with Halliburton, the chairman or the whatever the hell he was,
right.
He made a strong argument to Bill Clinton that there should not be sanctions against Iran, no matter what Iran did, because Halliburton was firmly entrenched and Cheney was lining his pockets. Cheney is an eater of dead flesh, human flesh. He's a filthy, filthy, filthy degenerate human being. He will take his company into a country and get as much money as he can out of it, and then whisper into Chucklenuts' ear that it's time to burn everybody with nuclear fire. Cheney is the devil. Cheney is some foul beast out of the deepest reaches of hell. I can't put it more strongly than that. He is an evil, evil human being.
Because if you want, I could send you... Actually, they don't have the link anymore because they purged it from their archives, but I copied everything from the webpage about Halliburton being in Iran in 2004.
Oh, no, I've got articles about that, Tim. Oh, trust me, I do. Hey, listen, Tim, we're out of time. Thanks,
all right,
pal.
Thank you very much.
All right, well, call again, and don't be nervous the next time. There's nothing to be nervous about. Jesus, it's a radio program, right? Thanks for participating tonight. I'll see you tomorrow night. All right, take care. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.